get our weekly view from the North, now doing his thing for NBC Sports Northwest, formerly known as CSNNW.com, which still gets you there online. He's talking Ducks. He's podcasting with that international TV star, Bree Amaranthus. You can keep up on Twitter. Try the handle at Aaron J. Fentress. Mr. Fentress, how's it going?
What's up, man? How are you?
I'm great. I'm trying to do some math here, a timeline.
So I know
you worked for the Oregonian for 21 years. How long has it been since you relocated with, you know, then Comcast, now NBC Sports Northwest?
I went to whatever you want to call it, late August of 2013. So 4 years and 4 months.
Wow. Man, time flies. Now, just seeing all you get to do now, would I be accurate in saying that you and yours are quite pleased with the way things turned out?
Most definitely. It was a very wise decision on my part. My feeling was, at the very least, if things didn't work out after 3 years there, I would have TV on my resume to go along with being a reporter, and pretty soon I'm going to add radio to my resume, so all worked out very well.
Yeah, when does that start, by the way?
We moved it out, I think it's the end of the month now, because the studio isn't ready yet, so I think the 24th.
They're building Fentress his own studio? I've been doing this crap for more than 20 years, I'm lucky I get a headset.
It's not a studio just for me, of course. Well, you know we're merging with iHeart, right?
Yeah.
So all their talent will be working out there. But yeah, it's going to be a brand new studio, because it's also going to be broadcast on our TV station, simulcast. So they want to have a good-looking studio so it looks on TV.
And they're going to put you back on TV more, so they've learned nothing in 4 years, in essence, is what you're saying.
Absolutely nothing. And I'm going to have a show starting in February where I'm a co-host with someone else that's going to start February 5th, I think, TV show.
It's a beautiful thing, Fentress, I got to tell you.
So
since Monday night, the performance of that Alabama freshman who went to the same high school as Marcus Mariota, it seems the anti-Helfrich people have crawled back out of the woodwork for not making him a Duck, and now we learn Helf is the new coordinator with your Bears. Beyond just the irony, what do you think about this?
Well, it's hilarious because I'm watching the national title game, and all of a sudden I get sucked into. And not that I'm blaming anyone, because I'm obviously easy to get sucked into anything, but I get sucked into a debate about Helfrich because of Tua, and it was just comical. And what tripped me out about it
is that two things, this will lead me to the Helfrich deal and the Bears deal, is that, one, this narrative that the Oregon coaching staff was so stupid that they didn't recognize that they should offer this guy. And to me, that's one of those things, and I guess maybe this is the difference between reporter instinct and fan whininess, is that as a reporter, when you look at that, you say, okay, this kid wanted to come to Oregon. From the same high school as Marcus Mariota. He's one of the top-rated QBs in the nation. If Oregon didn't offer them, is it because, A, they're a bunch of idiots, or, B, there's something else going on? Clearly, it's B. Clearly, there had to be something else. So while I'm debating this online with people, I get text messages from someone who worked at Oregon, obviously was involved in the program, who's telling me, no, there were massive grade issues with Tua. That's why he wasn't offered. Then I get a former player who was around then DMing me the exact same thing. He had grade issues. But this person said Tua got his grades up, and by then, though, Oregon had already had, Kelly committed, the kid out of Arizona. And don't forget, too, they also had Travis Johnson, Terry Wilson, and Justin Herbert. So you had four scholarship quarterbacks, two of which were highly rated in Johnson and Kelly. And obviously you saw highly of Wilson and Herbert's potential. And so here you have this quarterback and Tua who had grade issues. And for Oregon, grade issues were a big deal, especially for quarterbacks.
They try to not just squeeze anyone in because they're good. It's a pretty good school, obviously. And quarterback is a position where, you know, you kind of worry a little bit if a guy doesn't have great issues and if he has that work ethic in the classroom. Now, obviously, he got, according to this one player, ex-player, he got his grades up. I reached out to another former Oregon employee and asked him what the situation was. He said, yes, grades were an issue early on. So it's just hilarious to me that these coaches who have recruited, and then, yeah, some quarterbacks haven't worked out, but they've recruited some pretty damn good quarterbacks over the years at Oregon. So clearly there must be something else. And then there are some other rumors that people threw out too, or said were going on in terms of him in Alabama, wink, wink, you can only imagine. I'll just let your imagination run wild with how we all know what goes on with college football sometimes, Cam Newton. So you have to say to yourself that obviously there are reasons why Oregon backed off this kid, but the narrative is that Helfrich is a moron. He should have been here. Now, I pointed out to people that if he were at Oregon, he would be a 3-year backup behind Herbert, which means that he probably would have transferred. Because that's what you do at Oregon when you're trapped behind a 3-year superstar future NFL quarterback. You transfer, as we've seen numerous times in the history of the program. So then I started getting these tweets, people saying, well, if Helfrich was any good, how come he doesn't have another job? Well, I've been told numerous times by other people that Helfrich has received many inquiries from people over the last year for coordinator jobs, head coaching jobs. He didn't want to uproot his family right away. He likes Eugene. He just wanted to chill and take a year off, gather himself. Plus, he was getting paid.
Big.
Let's not forget that. And so now, the next day, boom, he's going to the NFL. Where is he going? Oh, to my team, the team of his biggest defender on the planet.
So it's your fault.
It's just the irony that was hilarious.
No, it was awesome. And real quick, the one thing that kills me is we're watching Alabama and Georgia, and somehow they made it all about the Ducks. The narcissistic fan base is just, that kills me.
And here's the other thing, too, about this. You know, Tua did a nice job, obviously, but one touchdown was pure blind luck. The other one, Georgia blew the coverage. There's no guarantee Tua is going to be a superstar or that he's going to win the job next year. It was one half of one game. We'll see what happens with the kid. But I guarantee you, well, I don't guarantee you, but I would put money on that. At the end of the day, Herbert will be in the NFL making millions of dollars, and Tua maybe might get a sniff of training camp, and that's it.
Yeah, well, not only his version of the Hail Mary, he threw a terrible pick. He took a sack before he won the game that just almost ruined their season. So for this, well, where does he sit in next year's Heisman picture? It's like, oh, my God, he played 30 minutes. Go easy.
Exactly. Cardale Jones won the national title with – season, and the next year he got benched, remember?
Yeah.
Remember that?
Hysterical. So. All right, so along those lines, college, NFL, talking with Aaron Fentress of NBC Sports Northwest. So the post-title buzz, and I saw what you said on Twitter about Nick Saban leaving Alabama for the Giants. I think it's hysterical because in what world do you leave where you're either the emperor or the king, and now you have to operate in a world where you don't dictate policy?
Very rare, but you know what? Yeah, there's something to be said, too, with becoming bored.
With making $11 million a year and winning the championship every year, that really gets boring?
But, you know, how old is Saban now?
60. He'll be 67 in the middle of next season.
Okay, so I doubt he's living like a young rap star. What I mean by that is I doubt he's spending way more money than he makes and is headed to being broke.
Or not drunk.
Not rap stars, young rock stars. Young actors, young athletes. I doubt he's living like that. I doubt he's blowing $1 million a day on Blink Blink, like Mike Tyson, right? Okay. So how much money do you need if you're 67? Let's say he lives to be 85, which is a great age for a man in America, right?
Sure. 85,
you can do 85. Who wouldn't take 85?
I'd sign a paper.
18 years left. He's not going to go broke, is he?
No.
Okay, so to me, the money is irrelevant. The thing is the challenge. Would he want the challenge? I could totally see what he might wake up and go, damn, I've won 6 national titles in college, but there's that one thing out there that people will always remember me for. It'll always be on my resume that he went to Miami, he didn't win, he lied and said, I'm not going to Alabama, and then the next day he went to Alabama. So maybe he just said, you know what? I still have some gumption in me. I'm going to go take a swing in the NFL. And if I can go somewhere where they have a high pick and get a good quarterback, I will have a chance to win. So I can totally see it.
All right. Unfortunately, I think because the Giants just hired a GM, Dave Gettleman, who came from the Panthers, that would mean he would just be coach and not have all the say. And while, you know, I'd like to see somebody like that join the Giants, I'm not put it this way. If I have a wad of cash to bet, I know which side of the aisle I'm going.
And I'm with you. I'm not sure it's going to happen. I can just see where someone might decide that.
Interesting. And plus, if it's going to happen, it's got to be now.
Yeah, because he's 67. He's got to get
right.
going now. Yeah.
All right. So a couple weeks back, we didn't get a chance to talk about this, when Oregon announced that Keith Hayward and the receiver coach, Michael Johnson, were staying. Taggart took the running backs coach, the corner coach, and the special teams coach. But
no, the corner coach went to Ole Miss.
Oh, right. I'm sorry. He's not there anymore. But Pimpleton and, what was it, Woody joined Taggart in Florida. How important do you think it was that Cristobal still was able to keep most of the staff and avoid a huge turnover like they went through a year ago?
Absolutely huge. You know, he kept all the guys that weren't Taggart's longtime buddies.
Right.
I mean, Pimpleton and Woody have Western Kentucky connections, so that's how far back they all go. So it was, to me, obviously a foregone conclusion that those two were going to be gone. And the fact that, you know, they kept everyone else it creates almost a situation where the only real negative impact of Taggart leaving, obviously, makes the department look a little bad because someone came in and went and done you. But aside from that, is the loss of the recruiting ranking and all those lost like 8 4-star recruits or something like that. So that hurt because Taggart was able to pull that off, and I don't know if the staff is going to ever pull that off without him. We'll see. But other than that, you maintain enough continuity to where you shouldn't have any type of coaching fall off next season if all these guys are worth their salt. So you know, you keep Leavitt, you keep Salavea. I mean, that's huge. You keep Arroyo, and Cristobal obviously was involved in the offense, and that maintains continuity for the offensive line, for the backs, especially for Justin Herbert at quarterback. You know, so you can make a transition to the offseason without much turnover and chaos. And so, yeah, I think that was definitely huge and creates a better chance for a smooth transition and having a good season next year.
All right, and lastly, the NFL playoffs wasn't the most aesthetically pleasing, but the Chiefs, you know, are going to tank. So for the first time since Chris Miller in 1991, a Duck quarterback won an NFL playoff game.
Wow, that's some trivia.
Yeah, I went back when Chris Miller outdueled Bobby Hebert of the Saints in December of 91. So the Titans winning that game, and if there's anything beyond the Jets over the Colts in Super Bowl III or Team USA over the Russians in 1980, chance Mariota beats the Patriots Saturday night.
I would say absolutely not. I don't even think they won the Kansas City game had Kelce not gotten injured. You called it Kelce, right?
Yeah, no. When he went out at halftime, it was like, wow, that's a different offense.
Yeah, I keep wanting to call him Kelce, but it's Kelce. Yeah, so exactly. They totally changed as an offense when he went down, which was kind of weird because they still had a bunch of offensive weapons. But so I don't think Tennessee wins that game without that happening. And so for me to imagine they're going to go into New England and win that game against Bill Belichick, who's going to it's just a defensive mastermind in terms of taking away what opposing quarterbacks want to do, especially in the playoffs. I mean, even the Super Bowls he lost to the Giants, you know. Aside from some last-minute miracles by your boy Eli, the offense for the Giants really didn't do anything in those games. I mean, they averaged, 19 points a game in those two games?
Yep.
I just feel like this is a guy who shut down the greatest show on turf in Kurt Warner. This is a guy who made Peyton Manning look silly more times than not in the playoffs. I just think they're going to look at Marcus, young Marcus, and what they have, limitations they have on offense, and they're just going to make life miserable for him. and then they're not going to stop Brady. So it could get ugly. But, hey, you never know. Marcus, maybe he's charmed after that pass to himself for a touchdown. Maybe this is destiny. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. I'm not holding my breath, and I certainly I won't even take the 13 in this one. folks, he is Aaron Fentress of NBC Sports Northwest on Twitter, at Aaron J. Fentress. AF, always a pleasure. We'll catch up with you next week.
Sounds good, buddy. Take care.
Take it easy.